Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I have been very honest with you all through the years. There's probably a really good chance that somewhere in my lineage, several generations ago, that my great-great-great-grandfather or somebody like that had to have been like an old-school carnival barker because, you know, I've got that hype gene just kind of in my nature. I like hyperbole. I like building stuff up. You know, I like kind of going back and forth with y'all when it comes to hot takes and things like that. And so I have a tendency to look at things in the most dramatic way possible. And tomorrow for Georgia is another practice. It's another scrimmage. And on the one hand, it's like hot day, you know, ready to start playing against somebody other than your own teammates, ready to go out and hit somebody else in a different color jersey. I'm sure for a lot of these guys, they're just ready to kind of go through the motions and maybe get to the games that really count. And the practices, by the way, that really count when you were practicing for another opponent. However, there is also another way to look at what's going to go down on Saturday for the Georgia scrimmage number two of this summer session, which kind of began at the end of July here. After a week last Saturday in which Georgia coach Kirby Smart came in his press conference and, you know, kind of had some critical things to say, you know, wasn't necessarily pounding the podium with his fist or anything like that, but he was, you know, just overall kind of talking about a sense of lethargy where it seems like the energy, the enthusiasm of the practice, the pace of play was really dictated by the younger guys, by the guys that we don't think of as first team guys, maybe some of those guys fighting for a spot on this roster or a 70-man travel roster at least, going to Vanderbilt on August 31st. Those were the guys that seemed to be providing the energy of practice last week, and maybe the Georgia starters, and, you know, I'll be careful here not to speculate on why they weren't bringing the injury, whether it was somewhat complacent about the fact they maybe feel like they have a position secured, or maybe just tired from having been in a hot practice on Friday as well. But one way or another, they kind of weren't, according to Kirby Smart and even some other players who spoke on this subject this week, they weren't necessarily bringing the intensity at the highest level when it came to what happened last Saturday. And this Saturday is a chance to change all that. But before I get to that, let me kind of validate the point that I'm making when it comes to what may be the best unit of all on this Georgia roster, the Georgia offensive line, potential All-Americans, potential first-round picks. I mean, I've written for DogNation.com. There's a scenario in which they have four guys drafted this upcoming April in the NFL draft. This is on paper a stellar offensive line, but last Saturday, maybe not so much. Here's what Kirby Smart said.
You know, I know that if you're not scoring points on offense, there's probably not going to be a lot of all lining up for awards. And, you know, we didn't score a lot of points today. So at the end of the day, it's one of those things, how well you perform, what is your identity, what are you trying to create? Because there's some good players on that offensive line, but good players got to play good.
Good players got to play good. The insinuation from Kirby Smart is last Saturday, the offensive line, to use his phrase, didn't play good. They didn't get it done against their opponents. Sometimes maybe the first team defense, maybe sometimes not the first team defense. But one way or another, Kirby was hoping to see a little more from his offensive line than he saw last week. Now, it's hard to have a rooting interest in a game that you won't see or something that simulates an actual game, real football that you won't see. But if I could suggest to you here today on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, if I could suggest to you today what you ought to be rooting for in the Georgia scrimmage tomorrow, I think it's time for that offensive line to assert itself. Now, my guess is it probably will, certainly over the course of the next couple of weeks, and most of the teams that Georgia play this season won't have a defense as good as the one that the Georgia offensive line is battling during practice. We all know that. That's all well understood. But on a Saturday a week ago, when we were told that, hey, the cemented starters, the first-team offense, and in some cases first-team defense, didn't exactly bring it, had a little bit of lethargy, tomorrow is the day I think you need to root for that to change, because as I've said before, and I'm going to keep saying this, Georgia's national championship hopes this season, as much fun as it is to talk about newcomers, and as much fun as it is to talk about younger players and maybe an expanded role here this season, that always brings an energy to the conversation around college football, but those are players that supplement Georgia's national championship bid. They don't provide the catalyst for that bid, But guys like the Georgia offensive line, quarterback Jake Fromm, DeAndre Swift, J.R. Reed, who we'll hear from later on the other side of the ball, those are the guys that really provide the catalyst. They are the engine that drives the whole thing. So tomorrow afternoon, when Kirby Smart speaks as part of his press conference, and obviously Dog Nation will have all kinds of coverage of that tomorrow, I think the thing that you ought to be rooting for is that for what was said about the offensive line last Saturday to be kind of a warning shot, and all of a sudden this Saturday, Kirby Smart says, boy, I don't know what was into him last week, but this week these guys came ready to play. This week these guys were bullying and mauling and opening holes, and Jake Fromm's throwing touchdown passes. Crisp energy provided by the names that fans know about the most. That's the thing I think the Georgia fans ought to be hoping for from the scrimmage on Saturday. However, with that said, admittedly, there is always a lot of just enthusiasm when it comes to talking about some of these newcomers, the curiosity of just how good some of these five-star freshmen might be, both in a practice setting like this against other elite competition, and how much of them we may see early on in the season against Vanderbilt in the season opener and kind of everything else that's going to happen for Georgia following that in the month of September. So as we sort of set the stage for scrimmage two, I don't want to forget about some of those names because, as Kirby Smart said, you know, he got a chance to really evaluate those guys a whole lot more last week, and there's, you know, also a chance to do some of that coming up tomorrow as well. So here is a little bit of an update on some of these freshmen, some of these guys we haven't talked about maybe enough yet on a Dog Nation Daily here this week. Take a listen to Kirby again.
I think the mid-year freshmen, I don't even see them as freshmen. I mean, they're like Lewis, Mason Plays, man, Nolan, Nicobe, all those guys that you guys have known about through last spring, they kind of like comfortable out there playing. The newest guys is George, Dom, Kenny McIntosh made some nice plays. Those guys are getting to kind of be the guys that are like, wow, this is my first scrimmage. You know, the defensive lineman, Trevon, gets some work in there, and Timon Bill and Zion get some work. The two linebackers, Ryan and Tresman, we had them all spring, but we didn't get to see them do much. They got a lot of reps today. They're going to have to be guys that can really help us on special teams in order to make the bus, to make the trip. And both those guys are picking things up well. They're not ahead of the guys older than them yet, though.
So listen, I'm just like all of you. Obviously, I just made the strong case for why the Georgia veterans, the juniors, in some cases seniors, those are the guys who need to have the biggest, best scrimmage tomorrow. And hopefully when we hear Kirby Smart speak in the postgame press conference, if you're a Georgia fan, I think you'll be very happy if that's some of the information that Kirby Smart provides. However, to go along with that, it's hard not to be excited about some of these young guys that Kirby had a chance to evaluate during the spring and now seeing in a more intense version of competition here during the summer. The closer we get to the start of the season, the more I start to realize that, you know what, freshmen are probably a bigger part of the overall two deep and the overall profile for Georgia than I realized. Either way, with this nice mix of young guys and veterans and kind of everything else in between, Georgia needs another good scrimmage tomorrow, or needs a better scrimmage tomorrow than it had last Saturday. It's an important step towards getting ready for the start of the season, and I, for one, can't wait to hear what Kirby Smart has to say about it when it's all said and done. Good morning, Dog Nation. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. We're just really glad to have you here with us on our program here today. And by the way, speaking of Kroger, they bring it all to you. And don't forget, I know that your kids have gone back to school, and we're talking about the start of the college football season. It may seem like fall is here now, but if you're outside, you know that's not the case. It is still summer as far as the weather is concerned, which means you're still having pool parties. You're still out on the back patio, the back deck, or the front porch on the weekends. You're having these summer parties. Well, those summer vibes are taking place at Kroger even still. They've been going on all summer long, and they continue on that way right now. So you want to fill up the cooler. You want to get meat for the grill. You kind of want to get those chips and dips and everything else that goes along with your summer party. It's all right there for you at your local Kroger, so make sure you check that out. It's great to have Kroger with us as a part of Dog Nation Daily today. And speaking of Kroger, less than a week from now, Thursday, August 22nd, we will be there, the Kroger Marketplace, incoming 5550 Bethel View Road there for our Kroger kickoff. This is a gigantic event last year, and it's going to be an incredible event this year as well. The entire Dog Nation team on hand, looking ahead to the start of the upcoming season, hanging out with so many of you. It's the Crowbar, kind of like right there in the middle of the place, in the middle of the Kroger Marketplace facility. Just an unbelievably cool spot to hang out and have a good time. And I've been walking around all morning with a T-shirt, a Dog Nation T-shirt. I don't have it now. I don't know what I did with it. I had this thing all morning. Anyway, we're going to give those away to the folks who show up and hang out with us coming up next Thursday. So if you come, you will get a Dog Nation T-shirt. That is my promise to you. As I said before, I don't know what I did with my T-shirt. I've been carrying around all day long. But when we get together for a Dog Nation event, it's always one of the things I really enjoy doing. I love being able to give out the T-shirt, and we will do that. Hey, look at this. You ask and you shall receive. It shows up right here. I think this is one of the cooler ones we've done as of late. For if you're, of course, listening on the radio or the podcast, I realize you can't see a thing that I'm doing right now, but let me just try to describe. Nice, gray, soft material. This kind of thing that's comfortable. It's got the really cool Dog Nation brand logo here on the front of that there. So we're going to give these away on Thursday at Kroger Marketplace for the Dog Nation Kroger kickoff to start the upcoming season. Y'all, this is going to be a lot of fun. Please, please, please join us there. Not just me. Connor's going to be there. Our buddy Jeff Sintel, our buddy Mike Griffith coming in from Athens, so you know it's a big deal. It's all going to go down this Thursday, August 22nd, Kroger Marketplace, 5550 Bethel View Road incoming. That begins at 6 p.m. By the way, write that address down, 5550 Bethel View Road. There are a couple Krogers right there in the area. You want to make sure you're at the big one, the big marketplace right there off exit 13 incoming, so that's going to be a really good time. All right, before we just talk a little recruiting with Jeff Sintel here today, let me go around the doghouse presented by Meriwether and Tharp today. And I said this to our video audience before our show started. There is one thing that I keep hearing from a certain Georgia position group. And to me, this means something. To me, this is more than just kind of the typical happy talk that might be out there before the start of the season. I get the impression, and y'all have probably heard me say this before, I get the impression that the Georgia secondary is pretty confident. And I get the impression that Kirby Smart validates that confidence by also being competent in that group himself. Now, one of my favorite guys to hear speak for Georgia is one of the team leaders, both vocal and on the field, the safety J.R. Reed. I loved him at SEC Media Days. I've enjoyed every conversation I've had been able to have with him. Even, unfortunately, after losses, Reed always has a really good perspective on what's going on there. You just understand why he's gained the stature within the Georgia program that he's gained. And yesterday, he was talking about the way in which that he's kind of grown and developed over the course, or I shouldn't say not just the way that he's grown and developed, but the way that his opinion of the other guys in the secondary, his opinion of them has kind of grown and developed. I told you before that there's confidence when it comes to this Georgia secondary. Here is a part of Around the Doghouse presented by my friends at Meriwether and Tharp. Listen to J.R. Reed in particular and notice that confidence for yourself. Here is J.R.
I feel a lot better about if one guy goes down, we got someone to plug him in, you know, in all areas. Everyone can really play anywhere on that field. And it's not only depth, we have people that know what to do in that depth, even freshmen.
Even the freshmen, he says, I feel really good that those guys know what to do, and I've grown in that confidence over the course of the time. And you know, we've heard other things like this in the past, that these guys have been here. You know, Tyreek Stevenson, DJ Daniel, the entire group that makes up that Georgia secondary, you know, they had the chance to go through Georgia spring practice. And Kirby told us at the time that it mattered. I think it still matters now. And in fact, to bolster the claim made by J.R. Reed, the fact that when he looks around, he sees interchangeable parts that provides the depth that Georgia needs to get it done in the secondary. I mean, Kirby Smart just last week essentially accentuated the same point. Here is Smart backing up the claim that J.R. Reed just made.
DJ Daniel's been the pleasant surprise. DJ Daniel's done a good job. He's gone with the ones quite a bit. Tyson got dinged up a little bit today. Hopefully he'll be back. But, you know, Stokes has been going with the ones. Tyson's gone with the ones. DJ's gone with the ones. Tyreek's gone in there some. So they're all getting good work. The thing that you guys want to measure is who's with the ones, and we're trying to get matchups. So I want every corner to go against Tyler Simmons. I want every corner to go against Lawrence Cager. I want every corner to go against. So the only way you get that is you move guys around. So we're just not really looking at a depth chart. We're looking at who's winning the 50-50 balls, who's not giving up big plays, who's making big plays. And it's not fair to judge a guy if he goes against, you know, the third team wideout the whole time. So we've really thrown those guys around.
So JR says, I think this group looks pretty interchangeable right now. Kirby Smart kind of says the same thing right there. Now, I'm on record as saying, obviously, everybody is impressed and feels good about Eric Stokes right now. But I also like Tyson Campbell at that other cornerback spot because of his speed, because of his experience. However, I hear some of these same things that JR is just talking about. And Kirby Smart just said the fact that DJ Daniel has apparently looked pretty good at practice. That seems to be a real thing. Tyreek Stevenson is a legit prospect, got the size, got the speed, got the arm length, everything you want from a top-flight defensive back. He seems to be solid in this discussion, too. Lewis Seen, you heard Kirby Smart mentioning him before. This does look like a pretty deep Georgia secondary right now, and that may be one of the things that Georgia knows about itself that the rest of the country hasn't quite figured out yet. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by my friends at Merriweather and Tharp, and obviously, divorce is the kind of thing when I say that on this show, it kind of stops everybody in their tracks because, let's face it, it can be scary, it can be confusing, and when you think about divorce, sometimes you may be thinking about going through that process alone. That is not what you want to do. No one should have to do that. That's one of the real bedrock beliefs of my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. They want you to have an advocate on your side. And my suggestion is that you choose Merriweather and Tharp to be that advocate because they're going to give you the free consultation. They're going to kind of set you up to, you know, put your family, make that feel better again, bring it all, you know, made whole again, really setting you up for a kind of life where you can feel comfortable and at peace again, even going through a difficult time like this. But you've got to reach out to them and find them online. It's theatlantadivorceteam.com, theatlantadivorceteam.com. That gets you in touch with my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. All right, good to have you with us here today. It's Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. As promised, what do you say we do a little recruiting talk with Jeff Sintel right now?
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, always fun to get a chance to talk a little recruiting with Jeff Sintel. And Jeff, a lot I want to get into with you, especially now that we're actually really getting close to the start of the high school season. You've got a lot of these big national showcase games coming up over the next couple of weeks here in the state of Georgia. It heats up big time next week as well. So that's going to be kind of a fun thing for us to chat about on Friday. But before any of that, I understand that you were out and about last night, spent a little time in Augusta with the Augusta Bulldog Club. I know that's a great group of dog fans, and I know they were glad to have you in the building with them last night. I hope you had a good time doing that.
Oh, man, it was great, Brandon, to be in Richmond County with some good people. That was one of my very first stops as a Cub reporter coming up. This is a funny story, Brandon. It's kind of like following you around at all of our Dog Nation meet and greets because they had Lawrence Smith speak, Bob Rathburn, the voice of the Hawks, speak. You had Tom Crean speak. You had Dominic Wilkins speak. And then there came this Jeff dude to tell everybody about Dog Nation and football. I can literally say now I know what it's like to feel like following Dominic Wilkins in a slam dunk contest, because Dominic's speech last night was a slam dunk, and then came old Jeff out there to try and talk some football.
Well, I don't know about comparing me to the human highlight film. I certainly take that as a compliment. That may be overstating matters just a bit. But before we kind of move on to the topic at hand, I mean, you get a chance to see Crean in that environment last night, and one of the things that I really like for him, about him is the way that he's sold the Georgia basketball program thus far. And in a room that's obviously rabid for football, he is the kind of guy that can convert some of those over to basketball. I mean, you know this as well as anybody. If you're the Georgia basketball coach, your job isn't just to recruit players. It is to recruit fans. Basketball just remains in the shadow of football for the most part. But Crean may have the personality to be able to do something about that. Did you get a chance to see that with your own eyes with the Augusta Bulldog Club last night?
Yeah, it was funny, Brandon. You know, you're not the human highlight show. Maybe the human soundbite. But Crean, I think he went about 19 and a half minutes on his speech. It looked like he just got back from the beach, but he was selling Georgia. He was barking and talking about all things Georgia. It was very interesting how the comments he made about Anthony Ant-Man Edwards. It was also very interesting how, you know, Dominic said, listen, Bulldog Nation, this is the right man for the job. This is the coach that's going to make it happen for us. But you know, Tom Crane told a story, a very specific Dominique Wilkins story about him growing up in the Midwest and how a guy like Dominique Wilkins was one of those guys that just transcended the school and how he put Georgia basketball on the map for him just because of his immense talent. And he didn't make the direct point, but I'm sure everybody got the gist that Anthony Edwards can very much do the same things for Georgia this year.
Now, let me get into the recruiting stuff here. Let me start with some news that's going to go down today. B.J. Ojulari, the brother of Azeez Ojulari, is going to make his college decision. Now, Georgia's going to have a hat on the table. In fact, our video audience here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger can get to see that right now. But I'm almost 100% sure that B.J. won't be putting the Georgia hat on today, and I'm guessing you'll say the same thing. You know, he's clearly a good player. He's obviously comes from a very good family. Azeez is a great representative of UGA, for instance. So why was it or why is it that Georgia and B.J. Ojulari have just never quite gotten into the same orbit? It's because of all the other outside linebackers that Georgia's brought in recent years. What was it about B.J. and UGA that has just never quite seemed destined to be?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's a great arc question for us to discuss Georgia recruiting. I think 2 years ago, I think maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, B.J. Ojulari might have been one of the top guys on the board at outside linebacker in any recruiting class for Georgia, but just a different Georgia. I think there's three maybe bullet points for understanding this decision. Number one is, just look at the linebacker room. There's so many guys, including his brother, that's going to make it hard for any players to crack that rotation and to get into the two deep. Look at the way Georgia has maybe a little bit thrifty needs this year with its spots at linebacker. I still think they're only going to take two linebackers in this entire class, one inside, one outside. MJ Sherman is already the nation's number two outside backer, a five-star. He's about 6'3". He's about 235. Superior premium athlete. And it's just like a combination of Georgia not having the room to take or the need to take as many outside linebackers. I mean, can you imagine adding a B.J. Ojulari and a Mekhi Sherman to a room next year that's already going to have at least Azeez Ojulari, at least Adam Anderson, at least Nolan Smith, maybe not a Jermaine Johnson? Robert Beal, I mean, that's a stacked lot of room of a lot of Sunday players. And I just think B.J., barring a last-minute reversal here, I just think for the longest time he's wanted to be his own man, do his own thing. And I think he's been recruited heavily enough and for long enough to know what strong, we need you, got to have you interest looks like from other schools. And I don't think he's gotten that from Georgia for the volume and the duration of time as he has from a few other SEC schools.
Obviously, brothers are different in terms of their athletic profiles even, and yet I also noticed that Azeez Ojulari, I think, is a player thought of in greater stature now than he was when he first signed with UGA. He's going to play like a five-star, in other words, maybe, even though he wasn't rated that way coming out of high school. Do you think there's a similar opportunity that B.J. Ojulari may grow into a player in the college ranks that's just frankly bigger and better than what we think of him as a high school player? He's already, of course, thought of as a good high school player. Do you think there's a chance, though, that he also increases his reputation once he gets on campus the way that Azeez Ojulari seemingly has? Azeez may be Georgia's number one outside linebacker this year.
Yeah, Brandon, I agree with you on that. I think Azeez is probably – we did something on the Dog Nation Forum recently in one of our threads where – we kind of looked at, you know, who were the best players on the team, and we rated them. I know everybody loves to read lists, and I clearly had Azeez in the top 10 for me already at Georgia. That's saying quite a lot considering limited playing time a year ago, but also coming back from a knee injury. But look what he did against Texas. Look what he did at G-Day. He was with the ones out there at G-Day. Look at him already getting to come out, speak, and represent the defensive unit for Kirby Smart during fall camp. And man, I think his brother's a very special player. I wrote about him one night. I saw him go against Wanye Morris as an outside linebacker pass rusher, and he played the whole game going against Wanye Morris on offense, and then he had to deal with, I mean, a strong All-American-type player. You know, another guy from Grayson High School, he had to try and block him the whole game, and he was the highest-graded offensive lineman. He was the highest-graded defensive lineman for Marietta High that night. And I think I think B.J. Ojulari, in every right, I wouldn't be shocked to see him on an all-SEC team or two by the time his time on Saturdays are over. But I don't know if Georgia's going to be the place there. I don't know. I don't see, even with a leap that he makes, and even his brother kind of part of that logjam, I don't see how a B.J. Ojulari could play before 2021, 2022 for a program the way the depth chart at Georgia looks like right now at outside linebacker.
I want to talk to you about Cedric Von Prahn for a moment. I thought we had an interesting discussion about him on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger on Wednesday. I also saw a tweet from Von Prahn referencing the fact that he's now the nation's number one center. I'm assuming this is related to one of the recent re-ranks that took place by one of the national recruiting websites. But obviously, Von Prahn happy with where he's rated at the moment here. And I guess this is a guy, and I'm hoping you can separate fact from fiction on this for me just a little bit. It seems like at one point in time, people were thinking that he might be accelerating his recruiting process, getting ready to commit. I haven't heard much on that as of late. Maybe, at least in my eyes, it almost looks like it may have slowed down a bit with Von Prahn. Admittedly, I may be reading into that. What can you tell us about Cedric Von Prahn and the chances that maybe he's ready to make a college decision soon, the way that some people at one point thought that he might be?
Yeah, Brandon, I can kind of – everybody wants to know who might be the next to commit to Georgia in the 2020 class, and certainly Cedric Von Prahn is a name that belongs right up at the top of that discussion. He's a big target. He's very focused on his team at this point of his stage of his senior year. I think he's either going to make a commitment in the next 2 weeks here very shortly, or I think he's going to wait until after his senior season. I can't see him as a guy, I've never seen him as a guy that will do a lot of this recruiting research and thoughts channeling during his season, because he's one of those old school players that realizes that his high school season is still the most important thing at hand, even with all the potential hats he can put on the table. There was a re-rank there from Mr. Von Prahn Granger. That's what we're going to start calling him now on Dog Nation. It's Cedric Von Prahn Granger. That's actually the full name. And there's one thing we can do here, Brandon. We can respect an individual's name, because that's, sure, I think, the most personal thing we all have. So you got to go SVPG or something like that when you start talking about Cedric Von Prahn now. And, man, he's just a great, great player. Just got that number one overall rating as a center for Rivals. He's still the number three overall center for the composite. And, you know, Cedric Von Prahn is a name, definitely. Cedric Von Prahn Granger is a name to think about in terms of the possible offensive line close for the Georgia class.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting to think about. And, of course, he is a Louisiana resident that is also the home of LSU, which currently holds on to the commitment of five-star cornerback Elias Ricks. You shocked a lot of people a couple of weeks ago when you started talking up the possibility that Georgia might be more in it for Ricks than some people realized. An official visit coming Georgia's way at the very least. You said maybe even more than that, this might be a recruiting battle that Georgia could win. I've had some people since then point out a couple of the things that Kendall Milton and Ricks have been saying to each other on social media, not necessarily, you know, not necessarily moving the needle all that much, but pretty clearly it seems like Milton is trying to work on Ricks. I'm of the belief typically, though, that, Jeff, that these friendships, while they may seem, you know, stronger than oak while in high school, they have a tendency to fade and fizzle once these guys get towards college. In fact, Ricks himself has even said that to you, that ultimately he and his good friend Kendall Milton will have to make their own college choices, and maybe it's the same, maybe it's different. Right now, at least on paper, it would appear to be different. How much do you think this friendship really could matter in terms of Georgia pulling what would be, I think you'd have to say, one of the bigger upsets for the 2020 class if it were able to go down?
Yeah, it's an intriguing thought, Brandon, because one of the things that Georgia does very well, and it's maybe a Kirby Smart signature on the recruiting path, is a late flip or a big flip. And, you know, there's only a couple big-name candidates for flips that appears on our Hedges top targets list every week, and Elias Ricks is one of those, and Mr. Dexter out of the state of Florida is definitely one of those. But I'm just going to counsel here on this one that let's let this one marinate. Let's let the waters boil. Let's let the seeds kind of grow as they may here. I mean, those two kids are very tight. Those two dudes are very tight. They've long wanted to play together, but then they reached a point about 6-8 months ago where they realized the best fit for one may not be the best fit for the other. But let's just see if that visit happens. Let's just see if that official visit happens for the Notre Dame game on September the 21st. I'm pretty sure that's the unofficial visit that The Miltons are planning to take to Georgia as well, especially with that 8 p.m. kick time. Let's just see what happens. I don't know. Maybe that crowd might be a little Dog Nation fan friendly. Might be a little loud. Might be something there for Georgia to make a move with that visit. And I think that's probably the next seismic, you know, moving of the tectonic recruiting plates to look at there with Mr. Ricks.
All right, let me do a couple things before we let you go here. Let me do running backs. Obviously, it would not be a Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger interview with you right now if we didn't at least touch on this just a little bit. And, you know, the next big move to fall is, you know, the timeline for Zachary Evans. We talked about this with Cedric Von Prongranger a little earlier, and now it becomes the same thing with Evans. Is this one of those deals where he's going to drop some sort of announcement before his senior season begins there at North Shore in Houston? Or is this the kind of thing where he's going to take a bunch of visits and wait and make his announcement later on? You and I both are the belief that one way or another, the actual recruitment continues all the way to December. But how about in terms of next big announcements, next big pieces of news, dominoes to a fall when it comes to Zachary Evans? What will be the next thing we hear, you think?
Good question. Well, I mean, there's kind of conflicting things, and, you know, lots of people have to catch Zachary Evans on his Instagram feeds where he says his decision is pretty much made. But then, you know, somebody on the record reporting around this recruitment has said that he's still going to take all of his official visits first before he makes his decision. You know, kind of quietly, I hear that, you know, Evans is really not a big fan of all the fanfare and the recruiting and everything that goes along with it. This is just one of those that it's really hard to get a read about, first, what he might do, his first faint into the hole here about where he could go. I think folks should not be shocked by anything Zachary Evans does, whether it's a commitment before his season or him not holding to true to his thoughts about, you know, maybe he wants to see take all his official visits before he makes a move. You know, Evans is a guy that obviously Georgia made the decision they did with their pursuit of guys like Marshawn Lloyd and Tank Bigsby because they wanted to play the high-stakes, long-range game with Zachary Evans. And I think it's fairly safe to say that Georgia's going to be a contender for Zachary Evans until he puts his pen to paper, and that Georgia will be a consideration for that. And that's probably what anybody can hope to say right now. I hear some folks on the forum, they're like, man, if he would just commit to Georgia, that would make them feel better about that situation.
Not me.
I just think, man, we're talking about, you know, four rounds at Augusta National here, and whichever team is in the has the lead after 36 holes, I don't think the recruitment for Zachary Evans will really, really start until the last 15 days of December.
Without a doubt, in the last 24 hours on that recruitment, it's going to be pretty intense probably there as well. Yeah, I mean, I've said this a million times that obviously if Evans were to commit, I'd treat it as big news. And for Georgia fans, including myself, it would be good news, but it is not necessarily the final news. Now, as we get ready to wrap up on this today, speaking of the Dog Nation Forum, Jeff, I've been taking a little friendly fire in the forum over the course of the last couple of days for what a few people on there have said is too much talk about the tight end position when it comes to Rick Gilbert, Darnell Washington, and even Theo Johnson, who I know is really impressed with a lot of these Big Ten schools right now. Now, let me defend myself for a moment, Jeff. First of all, I know what this is about. I am highlighting an area in which Georgia might not win with a five-star, which can make some people kind of nervous sometimes. But listen, I got to call them the way that I see them. I got to talk about all the issues. I can't just accentuate the good news and not focus on the entirety of the news. But in terms of the tight end position not being as important as I have treated it as, this is the thing, Jeff, I'm going to push back on. When you look at the teams in the mix for national championships in college football, they are the teams that play tight ends. There are plenty of teams that have a fourth receiving option that's a wide receiver. Those teams are playing in the Sun Bowl, Jeff. If you want to be in the college football playoff, you better have a tight end on the field, whether you throw to him or not, which is, say, nothing of the NFL level where the top tight ends in the National Football League play in the Super Bowl. Oftentimes, the top receivers in the league play their games on TMZ. Tight end is a winning position in football, and in a year like this where there are so many elite ones, I'm not going to apologize for the attention that I've paid to the tight end position, but I'll give the floor to you. Do you think I've talked about it too much?
I think it's a different side of the equation. I think it's this Georgia class needs two tight ends. They're going to say bye-bye to Eli Wolf. They're going to say thanks for 4 years to Charlie Warner, and then that's just going to leave a a redshirt junior in John Fitzpatrick and two true sophomores, or maybe two true redshirt freshmen in Rylan Godey and also Brett Seither. So obviously they need five at least. And they need the type of guys that can steer a defense and stretch a defense. If you're talking about the board, I think Georgia desperately needs two tight ends, but I don't think they're going to stretch if a fourth big-time receiver wants to join the fray, or an extra defensive lineman wants to join the fray, or an extra cornerback prospect like a Mr. Rich. Like, if those guys fill up the board, I don't know how far they'll go down for two tight ends. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I think the ideal close would be to get two of those top three names, Theo Johnson, Darnell Washington, and Eric Gilbert. And that's what everybody wants to see the recruiting look like. What do they want to see on the field? I mean, I'm of mind, and I mean, my opinion should probably be sharpened by seeing how well Georgia feeds the ball to its tight ends this fall under James Coley, but I don't know how in Georgia's offense and getting the balls to the playmaker that Georgia could ever feature two tight ends, much less one tight end, much less two. And I mean, featuring to the point where 30 catches and an Isaac Nod a season, two big-time tight ends like that get that sort of volume.
Yeah, you can play two, but you're not going to throw a lot to two. That's just the way the numbers go. And then to kind of wrap this up really quick, is it probably fair to say, I won't even do the Gilbert thing right now because we've done that so many times, but when it comes to Theo Johnson, another name we talk about for quite have been talking about for quite a while, that these Big Ten teams who have more of a history of throwing two tight ends, I mean the Michigans and the Iowas and, you know, a couple of those others, that those Big Ten schools right now, and maybe this is a geographic advantage as well, some of those Big Ten schools have kind of posted up when it comes to Theo a little bit here?
Yeah, they have. But I mean, Theo, I've got a pretty good handle on his recruitment and what he's thinking and what will be the moving parts for him. And these are so close for Theo that he's just going to let one school separate itself over the course of some rapid-fire visits. And here's the things that are kind of the big tectonic plates. I can't believe I said that twice in your show today. But the big tectonic plates for his recruitment is he wants to be around guys that he can see himself playing for, the brother-like atmosphere, playing in big games with. He wants to have a sense of camaraderie with the guys in the class. That's probably the second most important thing. The most important thing, especially to his mother, is the weight of the degree. It is, okay, you're 30 years old. What is a Georgia degree compared to an Iowa degree, a Michigan degree, or a Penn State degree going to do for you when you need to open doors in the business world when football's over with? I think that's very important to this family. And then he can't short sell what he saw at G-Day. What he saw at G-Day was a glorified scrimmage in the rain that still attracted right around 55,000 people, 50 to 55,000 people. What he saw that day really made a strong impact on him, especially when you think about the spring games and the energy and atmosphere at some of those Big Ten schools. I mean, he's a guy that doesn't have a lot of, I need to do this, I need to run great routes, you need to showcase me, I want to catch a lot of balls, I want to flex out and be a flex in. He is really a more of a normal recruit. I just want folks out there to realize that it's not Darnell Washington, Eric Gilbert, and if those two don't go Georgia's way, then you go to Theo Johnson. There's not a drop-off from any of these three young men. In certain areas, Theo Johnson is just as an impressive or maybe a more impressive prospect in certain areas compared to a Darnell Washington and an Eric Gilbert.
Well, Jeff, you always make a strong impression on us with the opinions that you provide on UGA recruiting when you join us here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. We appreciate your time. We hope you have safe travels, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon here back on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger very soon.
All right, guys. Should be a fun month even before the games start getting played.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Did you catch that from Jeff Sintel there? Sounded like maybe a little bit of foreshadowing from him about something that might be coming down the pipe there. Pretty interesting stuff. Let me just say one more thing about the tight end situation. You know, if you gave me my choice in college football, I can have the best receiver in the nation or the best tight end in the nation. The the college level, I'll take the best receiver in the nation. I got to have a good tight end, but if you give me the choice of one or the other at the college level, I'll take the nation's number one receiver. However, at the NFL level, if I can have the top tight end in the league or the top receiver in the league, I'll take the top tight end. I really will. And I think the results of the teams who've had the best tight ends probably speak for themselves on that. But nonetheless, it's time for our SEC through. And as I transition to the SEC, let me tell you about some of my friends here. And for some of you who do this kind of work, this is an important group for you to know about because they're going to be able to increase your quality of life. They're going to put more money in your pocket and just more peace of mind about your work situation. I'm talking about the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. You know, the ANGTBC is dedicated to the work and economic stability of organized construction workers in North America, creating more work opportunities, living wages, and they protect benefits for all construction workers. So if this is the field that you're in, this is a group you want to know. Let me give you a couple of ways to get in touch with them. Go to GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. The website, once again, GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. Or you can dial this number, 404-584-0005. That's 404-584-0005. You can get in touch with the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council today. All right, so I wish I was a better person. I wish I was the kind of person that didn't take such spiteful glee in this, and some of you already know what I'm about to say, but more bad news for Florida, I am here to report. Now, this has been kind of, I guess, rumored now for a little while, but RJ Henderson, the four-star receiver from Florida's 2019 class, has been reportedly, a number of sites have reported this now, been released from his scholarship at the University of Florida. This is another guy that apparently, it's academically, didn't qualify academically, which I believe you got, DeJuan Black and the other guy, that's like the third guy from the 2019 class for Florida that didn't qualify. So not a great run for Gators when it comes to that. And there's also a million guys that have seemingly all of a sudden decided not to use their scholarship in Florida for various reasons. But Henderson becomes another member of this 2019 class not to come. Now, listen, you can do some of this at Georgia as well, of course, with the 2018 class, which now has three of its highly recruited members no longer part of the roster. But Georgia's been stacking big-time classes on top of each other for a number of years. Florida was in the top 10 last year after it wasn't all that long ago. They weren't even in the top 20. Go back and look at McElwain's first class. Didn't even crack the top 20 of the 24/7 Sports Composite team ranking. So the Florida recruiting under McElwain has not been great. Beginning of the Mullen era, a little shaky. Last year was supposed to be the return to at least to some degree of recruiting prominence for Florida. Kind of sad how far they've fallen that last year's class, which was, you know, low top 10s, the kind of thing they were going to hang their hat on. All of a sudden now, though, that class is starting to show a little bit of attrition. So we take spiteful glee in that. A story that I don't take spiteful glee in. I don't like injuries. Nobody does. But I even feel that way about, you know, these SEC rivals, the teams that Georgia plays, competes with, you know, looks for a chance to, you know, to battle, you know, battle it out with. I like the SEC at its best. And kind of sad news coming out of LSU, where Cardell Thomas, who was a big-time offensive line signee, a top-10 type, you know, type offensive line signee, is now dealing with an injury. And according to the Baton Rouge Advocate, they're saying this injury could be serious. Now, I've read the story three times. They don't say what the injury is. He was also, I guess, at one point in time dealing with what Orgeron called a, quote, minor camp injury. So some of y'all may have, you know, more friends in Louisiana than I do. You may know more about what's going on with Cardell Thomas here. But Thomas is a big-time name, a really big addition to the LSU program, and he's now dealing with an injury. And y'all know the corollary here, which is this is why you stack bodies in recruiting. This is why you put, you know, big-time players on top of big-time players. Once you start running into each other during practice, you can only do so much to control what's actually going to happen beyond that. And you got to have elite talent and a lot of it to overcome the various injuries that come your way. One of the areas in which LSU is probably a little thinner than it is in other spots, maybe along that offensive line, you know, they are not in a position where Thomas was a luxury. This was a guy that I know they have high hopes for, and we'll see what the future is for him and kind of what else comes out about the injury situation that he might be dealing with. Let me do a couple of other really quick stories here. So I guess Tracy Rocker, the Tennessee defensive assistant, met with the media this week, and he was asked about Aubrey Solomon. Now, y'all remember Solomon because way that y'all think I talk about so-and-so recruit too much now. There are plenty of people who thought I talked about Aubrey Solomon way too much leading up to what was eventually him choosing Michigan as a part of the 2017 class. Was he a 2017 signee? 2017 to Michigan. It was 2017, yeah. 2017 to Michigan, then transferring to Tennessee. Now, when Solomon transferred to Tennessee, which was only a few months ago, but seems like a million years ago, it was like the Wild West for eligibility waivers, and it seemed like everybody was going to get a free pass, and I think a lot of Tennessee fans assumed that Solomon might get his free pass going from Ann Arbor to Tennessee, especially given the fact that Knoxville was a little closer to home, although Lee County, Georgia, not all that close necessarily. But according to what I read this week, they haven't heard anything about Solomon one way or another. In fact, one of the reporters asked Rocker, hey, what's the deal with Aubrey Solomon? And Rocker's response back was, you have to go ask our compliance department about that. So apparently they haven't heard anything. And for Tennessee fans, and I know y'all don't have any sympathy for the Vols fans, but they're frustrated about the fact they can't hear anything. And on that point, I'll at least agree with the Tennessee fans that one way or another, you ought to be able to hear something. You know, deny the request if you want to, but the way in which the NCAA has such a sliding scale of timelines, some things are handled very quickly, some things are not handled quickly, and in lower profile situations involving other sports, I think you'd be shocked to find out how some of these things can just drag on beyond the point of any level of decency. It's that lack of transparency, one of the reasons that so many people have such a big problem with the NCAA. And, you know, Georgia fans aren't going to weep for Tennessee here, but the Aubrey Solomon is maybe another example of that. And I am happy to report this. Next Saturday, we have a real game. Now, I'm no fan of Florida, but I have never been hungrier for a chance to watch Florida play than I will be next Saturday against this game in Miami. This game is actually very rich with storylines. Jaren Williams, the former Georgia high school star, big-time fast riser out of Central Gwinnett, you know, at one point in time had some kind of, you know, lower level offers, got on the SEC's radar, ended up going to Miami because of Mark Richt, beats out Tate Martell for the starting job. Gambling market's a little suspicious of Williams, at least based on what I was seeing a couple of days ago. Florida, though, kind of dealing with a little bit of injury stuff right now. They've had a couple defensive linemen banged up, I think, a little bit here. A lot of pressure on them to go play well in this game. Orlando, a lot of their fans there. This one's hovered, what, around a touchdown or so in terms of the point spread. This is actually a very, very big game. Really, really interesting. It's a referendum on just how significant of a threat Florida really hopes to be in the SEC. If you're a top SEC team, you beat Miami by a couple of touchdowns at least. If you're scrapping and fighting and clawing in a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, then hope you enjoy the Outback Bowl. I mean, that's just kind of what that is. So this will be a really, really interesting look into the Gators next Saturday. I would never tell you to be excited about Florida for anything, but I will admit that I'm kind of excited about this game. With that in mind, let's get ready to do our Kroger kickoff as well, because the thing that we're most excited about is what's going to happen the Saturday after that. August 31st in Nashville, Georgia versus Vanderbilt. It's our Kroger kickoff here as a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. For some of you, this made more exciting about the announcement made earlier this week that there'll be alcohol sales. As if the people in Nashville all weekend long won't be getting enough alcohol. There will be some of that going on inside the stadium on Saturday, two Saturdays from now in Nashville. So I've heard from, I mean, it just seems like dozens and dozens of Georgia fans, which means that you start doing the math, that means there are going to be thousands and thousands who are going to be there. It's going to be another one of these, you know, takeover type deals in Nashville. I, for one, cannot wait to be a part of it. And, of course, around here, when you start thinking about those weekends, next weekend, weekend after that, everything else, we also think about our friends at Kroger, because when we kick off the weekend, we like to go to Kroger and get stocked up on kind of everything that you need to make your weekend fun. It's what Kroger does for you. And by the way, speaking of Kroger as well, you can also get 1 hour delivery right now in select Kroger stores. So if you're like me and your weekends are also really busy, one of the ways to do that is to shop at Kroger and take advantage of that 1 hour delivery. You can go to Kroger.com or the Kroger app and you can begin placing your order today. Kroger's here and wanting to give you that some of that time back on the weekend. So go to Kroger.com, the Kroger app, find out about the Kroger store near you that's offering 1 hour delivery. And all of a sudden, more free time on the weekend. That is never a bad thing. All right, so we'll get ready to wrap up our show and wrap up our week here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. And, of course, I will invite you to check out DogNation.com throughout the weekend. I'll have more of my Own the East series brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Our season preview, look ahead on some of the things that are going to matter most for Georgia as it tries to dominate the division and maybe even win a national championship this year. There'll also be plenty of look at what's going to happen at Georgia practice tomorrow, open periods for reporters to see, scrimmage talk after the fact from Georgia coach Kirby Smart. Busy on the site tomorrow, DogNation.com, and, of course, all the chatter going on at the Dog Nation Forum. The website to go to is forum.DogNation.com. Now, I talked about Florida and my excitement about seeing them play, but let me counterbalance that by saying the thing that makes me the most excited is that now it's the fact that it's been 1,021 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. The Dogs on top in this rivalry for sure. We'll see you Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.